Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today we're going to be talking about connecting to your partner through sexuality and an experiment that I call Make Love Every Day. We discussed this a good bit in the book, Make Love Every Day, A New Tantra for the Connected Couple. And this comes from kind of a culmination of a new tantra, quite a bit different in most ways from traditional Eastern tantric practices in terms of the use of sexuality for enlightenment. So this is a very interesting topic to discuss, still using sexuality as a laboratory for study of the self for personal development and ultimately spiritual enlightenment, but in a different way. Before we dive into this today, quick shout out to new listeners in Dublin, Ireland. Thank you for this connection. Thank you for joining me here today. If you have thoughts and questions, ideas, just want to tell me what's going on in your world, follow the link in the show notes and let me know how I can help. So we've talked a lot about sexuality as a lens for personal development and enlightenment, and that's worth going back and listening to those episodes as well. And today I want to talk about something related to that. So as you explore connecting to your partner through sexuality, I want to recommend a fun experiment. Make love every day. Now, some of you are cheering, and some of you are thinking that that sounds like a lot of work. So this experiment can actually have some very surprising results. So I want to talk about my own experience with this. Where did this come from? Well, you've got to have your priorities, right? And we always spoke about how our relationship and our connection are the most important thing in the world. And they are. It definitely is. But work gets in the way and kids need attention and task lists are long and excuses. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And the next thing you know, you're making love only half as much as you used to, or less, and it's not nearly enough. We miss the connection. We miss the exchange of energy. We miss the time to focus just on each other in a very connected way. And one day, we just decided that enough was enough. If our lovemaking was so important, why was it not a higher priority? Why was it not something we made sure happened? And you can say this about anything that's a priority in your world. If your health, if your physical health and or your mental health is important, why is it not a higher priority? Why do we take what we say is important to us and push it to the bottom of the list? Why do we do that? So we decided to try an experiment, and to try making love every day. Every day. No excuses. Just do it, as they say. Well, that's all well and good, but how are you going to find the time? So when should be the sacred time? Most people think about this at night after the kids go to bed. It's the most obvious time, but we're often too exhausted from the day to make love at that point, right? And the day has brought you so many tasks and stresses and issues, and it's not very sexy, is it? So, you know, we could give it a go anyway, but it really deserves our best effort. We thought, if it's the most important thing we can do each day, shouldn't it be the first thing we do each day? And I would say the same thing about your workouts, your meditation, or your journaling time, right? Whatever is actually high priority should be among the first things that happen for you every single day. See, whatever you do first each day is almost guaranteed to happen. It's nearly guaranteed not to be interrupted or to be pushed lower on the list. And that's why some people work out first thing or meditate first thing. Besides, we've got more energy in the morning. And we noticed before that, any day that began with making love had always been a good day, no matter what happened at work or otherwise. So could we, just by making love first thing every morning, guarantee a good day every day and a closer connection too? Well, it was worth a try, so we chose the morning, and that meant getting up 30 minutes earlier to make it happen. Wait, 30 minutes? Not 2 hours, not 4 hours. No, well, let's talk about embracing the quickie. So I wasn't about to get up an hour early because sleep is a priority too. If you're not well rested, you're not in the mood for anything. So we'll just have to get it done and get it done quickly. Now, it is defined as he gets his and she gets hers. It is not done until everyone has a satisfactory orgasm. Couples out there, everyone. Let's keep it equal. No one-sided experiences here. And here lies the interesting question. If you could have a fantastic orgasm in 5 minutes, would you still desire the epic hours-long lovemaking sessions that you see in the movies? Well, let's just say we appreciate efficiency, and efficiency is what we got. Practice makes perfect. You see, any skill you practice daily, you will master. We quickly narrowed in on the perfect positions, techniques, and other features that would sort of get everyone there in the most connected way while maximizing for the greatest possible orgasm for both parties. Now, it's not all about the O. The important part is connection. Emotional connection, intellectual connection, energetic connection, divine connection, and so forth. And you know this because we've talked about this, and if you missed those episodes, go back to that. The playground of sexual intimacy is a space for that to happen. So it's not all wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. The challenge of a high quality lovemaking session in less than 30 minutes is not for the faint of heart. But we were equal to the task. And the practice evolved over several months to the perfection it is today. But don't forget the cuddle. Part of that perfection is the incredibly important post-coital tenderness, the cuddle. A good cuddle, especially as an ending to great sex, lowers cortisol levels. It boosts the bonding hormone, oxytocin. And it locks in the emotional connection that you just strengthened. The danger here is that you might fall back asleep. Actually, you're almost guaranteed to fall back asleep, especially if it's an early wake up. So we learned to set a second alarm that would serve as the final get your rear out of bed alarm. Problem solved. And it's an interesting experiment because it becomes the canary in the coal mine. The thing about sex is, it's a great indicator of your total well-being. If you have access to good sex and you don't want it, something is wrong somewhere else in your life. It could be something's physically wrong, mentally wrong, emotionally wrong, career wrong. Something's wrong. Our rule has been, if one of us doesn't want it, we don't do it, obviously. But that then triggers the critical need to uncover why, with compassion, with curiosity, without judgment. It could be something as simple as one of us is sick, or maybe we didn't get enough sleep. Maybe you're stressed out about something, or maybe we have an issue in the relationship that needs to be addressed. It forces us to examine what is wrong and fix it today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not later, today. When you don't let an issue go, you don't let it grow. That makes so much sense that it rhymes. When you fix your issues quickly, you don't have issues. The thing is, for many people, maybe you're one of them, libido is the first thing to go. All the parts of your life have to be in relatively good standing. Maybe it doesn't have to be perfect, but in relatively good standing in order for you to have any desire. That's great. Use it. Use your libido as the canary in the coal mine. The minute your libido goes flat, figure out why and fix it. It's not that your sexual desire is more important than all those other things like finance and work and relationships and such. It's not that it's more important than that, these other things, because it's not. It's that those other things are important and your libido is the indicator of whether or not they are okay or whether they are okay, or maybe that they're not okay and you're ignoring the problem. And it doesn't mean that every little aspect of your life has to be perfect, or that you can't have a good sex life until every aspect is perfect. Because even just taking steps to address your problems, even just taking steps to address whatever challenges you're dealing with, whatever it is that is off in your world, whether it's a relationship issue or a career issue, a health issue, or, you know, physical health, mental health, an issue, a personal development issue. It can be all kinds of things, right? But if you can identify the problem and start taking steps to correct it, simply being on the path to solving the problem is enough. And so this experiment is so very interesting because it forces you to identify challenges early and set out a path to solve them quickly. And when you identify a problem early, the problem stays small and easily fixed. As opposed to if you ignore a problem for a long time, the problem gets huge and unmanageable and hard to fix, right? So it helps you identify your issues quickly. Now, what's very interesting is the effect of guaranteed sex. So what happens when you are guaranteed to get sex every day? Now, there's a huge assumption here that it's good sex, right? Because at this point in the discussion, we have worked on all these other aspects of trust and safety and grounding and independent will and expression and purpose and all these beautiful things and compassion and love and which you have connected along all these lines. And so at this point, the interaction should be quite good. So what happens when you're guaranteed to get that every day? You might think you wouldn't work so hard for it. You might think maybe your partner won't work to curry your favor anymore. Why bother? You might think that you and your partner might give up on keeping your bodies in shape, or you might stop bothering to have date night or dress nicely or bring flowers or flirt and so on. You might think you would stop flirting altogether. Why bother if you know for a fact that you're guaranteed to get some? One of the surprising effects of making love every day with your beloved has been that you actually seem to work harder to be attractive, to flirt, to otherwise spin each other up. It's completely counterintuitive, I know, but when you remove the question of whether or not sex will happen, when it is guaranteed, flirting is then just for fun. Dating and wooing is just because it's a good time. There's no longer an expectation of something at the end of the date. There is no worry of getting the evening just right. You relax. You have fun just being together. You connect as people in love. Sex is detached from the dating and the flirting and the wooing part of the relationship. As a result, the dating and the flirting and the wooing does not disappear, but actually flourishes in the absence of pressure and in the absence of expectation. Now, over the long term, months to a year, you might think that things would get old and boring. But quite the opposite happens. A good orgasm never gets old, especially when you keep improving your skills and those orgasms keep getting more intense and amazing. So don't worry about that. You can always rotate through different positions, spice things up with various toys and so forth to keep it fresh and even to surprise your partner from time to time. And now let's not forget the multi-orgasmic man. Pills not required. Let's talk about what you all want to talk about. It is well known that Yoni is capable of multiple orgasms of various types within the same sexual encounter. Vajra, as it turns out, is capable of amazing wonders too. I'm not referring here to the ancient practice of pinching off male ejaculation in a bid to orgasm again later. What I'm talking about is men of any age enjoying multiple ejaculatory orgasms, just as nature intended, potentially within minutes of each other, without the need for a break, without the need for pharmaceutical intervention. So how do you get there? This is a practice. Follow all the steps that we've outlined previously. And this is absolutely important. You've got to start with trust, safety, grounding in the partnership. Then you have a sexual exploration of different levels of orgasm, exploration of energy movement in the body, in yourself, in the partner, and exploration of the divine within each other. And at the same time, encouraging each other's expression of truth, exploration of purpose. All of these issues that we see in the later stages of the cycle, encouraging and supporting that in each other. And then, make love every day. The psychology has to be in place here. So you have to make an effort to ensure that your world is as stress-free as possible. Don't criticize each other. Instead, encourage what you do want. Tell them what is amazing and wonderful about them. Tell them what is awesome about them. Tell them how fantastic they are. You will get more of what you praise and reward. Don't have expectations. Not every day will be a multi-orgasmic day. life and circumstances intervene. But good sex is good sex. Don't get all type A about it. Let it be what it will be. No expectations and no pressure. Desire only to connect deeply with your partner. We have to talk about physical health, of course. Keep your body strong and healthy. We're asking a lot of these amazing bodies and throughout your day, and they work a lot better if we feed them the right food and tend to our needs for movement. If you take care of your body, you will feel attractive, and that only helps the psychology. So I hear you ask, does that mean that a chronic condition might spoil your quest? No. It is all ultimately in the mind. If you and your partner feel sexy and feel the connection, I believe you can get there. Just know that with practice, it is possible. Just be in love. Just be in awe of each other. Let your inner Shiva and Shakti come out, and then one day, once will not be enough. And when that day comes, praise your Shiva for the amazing divine masculine that he is. Allow this unfolding exploration of your humanity and divinity to take you to places that you might not have expected. And of course, continue your efforts for connection with your partner from there. I can only imagine the number of questions, thoughts, and comments that are going to flow in for this one. So follow the link in the show notes. Bring all those questions, thoughts, ideas, and comments on in. And let me know how I can help. And as always, I'm wishing you not just a fabulous connection with your partner, but complete connection. Purna Asati.